Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22. One of the great stories of the Bible. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22. Would you follow along in your Bible while I read for mine? Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly You are the Son of God." Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You for this wonderful story about Jesus and how He ministered to His disciples. And I pray, Lord, that You will minister to Your people through Your Word this morning. Strengthen and enable me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture tells us of one of the most amazing and most familiar miracles that Jesus ever did. It tells us of Him walking on the water to the disciples who were in a boat. And you know, walking on water is proverbial for doing amazing things. And Jesus certainly amazed His disciples that day. In fact, they were so amazed when they saw Jesus, they just could not imagine that it was actually Jesus walking on the water. They thought surely it was a ghost. And, you know, the fact that they really didn't expect such a miracle demonstrates its truthfulness. They didn't expect Jesus to rise again. It wasn't something they would have even thought of. And so Jesus really did walk on the water that day. Now, after this miracle, we read in verse 33 that they fell down and worshiped Him and proclaimed that He must be the Son of God. Now, really, that is the main point of this story, to help us to see that Jesus really is the Son of God. He really is the Messianic King. He really is the Savior that God has sent for us. But you know, there are some additional lessons that we can draw from this story this morning. And so I'm going to share many of those lessons. You know, some of you may be going through a storm in your life right now. Well, I believe this passage of Scripture will really help you as you face the storms and difficulties of life. Now, I'm going to present this story in three scenes. And so imagine the curtain is closed and then it rises to the first scene where we read about the storm at sea. The storm at sea. We read here in verse 24 of this terrible storm the disciples found themselves in. Now, the Sea of Galilee is largely surrounded by mountains. And so, as the winds come down from Mount Hermon, or as they come from other directions, they have a tendency to be kind of enclosed to some degree and can swirl around and create large waves. And so the disciples were on this Sea of Galilee in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the large waves, and they were in danger of drowning on the Sea of Galilee. Now, I can imagine as they were in the midst of that storm and Jesus was not with them this time, they must have asked why. Lord, why would you allow this storm to come into our lives? And if you look at verse 22, it actually says that Jesus made them get into the boat and go to the other side while he stayed at a nearby mountain and prayed. Now, I believe that Jesus, as the Son of God, could certainly have known what they would face, and yet he sent them into the boat, onto the lake, into a storm that was going to come. And he did not immediately come to their aid. It wasn't until about 3 o'clock in the morning that he finally came to them. And so this was a very great storm that the disciples were facing. And again, we all are going to face storms and difficulties in our lives. No matter how faithfully you serve the Lord, you are going to face storms. Back in 1977, this was a couple of years after I committed to being a preacher of the gospel, I was getting ready to head back to Texas for Bible school, for another semester of Bible college. And on my way home from church, no less, I crashed into a big Georgia pine tree. I was injured. My car was totaled. That was a storm and difficulty in my life. And it wasn't too long after that that Cheryl and I got married. And in 1982, she gave birth to Andrew, our firstborn son. And about the fourth day, she began to bleed profusely. And they couldn't stop the bleeding. And they had to do a hysterectomy just to save her life, knowing that we wouldn't be able to have any more of our own children. And all that Cheryl had gone through, it was a storm in our lives, a great difficulty. And then a few years after that, I was in my first full-time church and been there for several years. The church had been going well. The church had been growing. And then a storm of disunity hit the church. And that was a very difficult time in my life and in my young ministry. Year 2000, my mother was died of a brain tumor at the age of 70. That was a storm and a difficulty in our lives. In the year 2005, my sister, after years of battling depression and flipping into mania, she took her life after six previous attempts. That was a storm in our lives. Great difficulty. And I've been faithfully serving God for years, and yet that didn't keep me from a storm. That didn't keep my family from a storm. We're all going to face storms and difficulties in our lives. And you know, our whole world is in a storm right now. 2020, what a year. You know, we were hit with a global pandemic, and it hit in the United States in the month of March. And even though actually less than 0.1% of our population has had a major encounter with the COVID virus, nevertheless, all of us have been adversely affected by it. Millions have lost their jobs. There have been, as typical, over a million people the last 6 months who have died, most of them not from COVID, but for other reasons. And yet, many of them have died almost alone, if not alone. It's been a difficult time. Families, many haven't been able to have a proper funeral for their loved ones. We have had racial conflict and rioting and the increase in crime, and it's been a very, very difficult time in our country. A lot of people feel there's injustice and they're speaking out against it. It's a difficult time in the life of our country. And you know, you have to ask, what's next? What's next? Well, you know what? I haven't seen a killer hornet yet, but they're coming. You know, the killer hornets may be coming next. And then in November, no matter who is elected, about half the country is not going to be happy. It's going to be a difficult year indeed. Storms come in our lives. And you say, why? Why? Why, God? Why even to your own people? Do we experience storms and difficulties in our lives? Well, let me share with you three reasons. One is to strengthen your character. You see, James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works perseverance and proven character." And Paul says essentially the same thing in Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 and 4. As the disciples were rowing and raising and lowering sails and struggling against the storm, they were getting stronger physically, but storms make us stronger spiritually as well. And so it's through storms that we exercise or have the opportunity to exercise our faith. You know, they say that trees that grow in the windiest places have the strongest wood. And so God allows storms and difficulties to strengthen us. You know, there are two main kinds of storms. There are the storms of correction when we get out of God's will to bring us back into God's will. But there's also storms of perfection where God is going to use those storms to strengthen our lives. But another truth that we learn in the storm is that we can learn a lesson about God's will. Yes, sometimes we are in a storm and a difficulty to correct us because we're out of God's will. But here we see the truth that you can be right in the center of God's will and still have a great storm and difficulty that comes into your life. Again, remember, Jesus was the one that sent them across the Sea of Galilee. He was the one that made them get in that boat and go on ahead. They were right doing what Jesus commanded them to do, and yet they still had a storm and a difficulty in their life. Don't you think for a moment that if you're always in God's will, that it's going to be smooth sailing? Not at all. God still has a purpose and a plan for the storms and the difficulties that you go through in life. Listen, we live in a fallen, sin-cursed world. And as long as you're in the flesh, you are still subject to disease and accidents and difficulties in your life. It is just part of the world in which we live. Jesus said to His disciples in John 16:33, "In the world you shall have tribulation. In the world you will have pressure. You will have difficulties. Don't expect it to be any other way as a believer." So you need to learn the lesson that you can be in the center of God's will and still have difficulties and storms and trials. But furthermore, to experience God in a fresh new way. It is in the storm that you can experience God in a fresh new way. It's in the storm that you can learn some lessons you would not have otherwise learned. It is in the storm that you can experience God's presence and God's power in your life that we'll be talking about in just a moment. And so it's in the storm that you can experience God in a fresh new way. Diana Helsel was in the hospital, and I called and checked on her, and she just wanted to share a little testimony about how bad it could have been. As she was out driving, and this sickness came upon her, and how bad it could have been but how God saw her through that, and she got to the hospital, and she's getting the treatment that she needed, and she just wanted to give a testimony of how God worked in her life. And so the first scene is the storm at sea and the lessons that we can learn from that. The second scene is the Savior on the water. The disciples realize after a while, I mean hours of battling the storm, that they couldn't handle it themselves. And boy, how they needed Jesus, but He wasn't in the boat. Verse 24 describes a gloomy scene. They were in a boat. It was dark. It was stormy seas. They could drown and die on the lake. The experienced fishermen that most of them were knew the dangers they were facing. But Jesus Christ intervened. And we're going to see that the main thing you need to know and do as you go through the storms of life is to exercise faith in Jesus. And let me break that down as we see it unfold in the story. First of all, have faith in the prayers of Jesus. In verse 23, remember, as they were facing the storm, Jesus was up in the mountain praying. He went up to the mountain to pray by Himself. And, you know, Jesus, when He would get alone to pray, He wouldn't pray 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. He would pray oftentimes for hours, sometimes all night long. And so Jesus was up there praying on the mountain. And He realized, He knew what they were going through. And you know, I'm sure he was praying for himself as God would help him to overcome the temptations that he was facing on a regular basis. Praying for guidance. Praying as he was getting closer to the cross that God would strengthen him for his mission. But he was not just praying for himself. He was also praying for those disciples. You can be sure of that. Praying for their safety. Praying that their faith would be strong. And even so, I want you to know that when you go through a trial and difficulty in your life, the Bible tells us that Jesus has an ongoing ministry in heaven, interceding on behalf of His people, as Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says. And then Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Have you thought about the fact that when you're going through a storm and difficulty in your life, that Jesus is praying for you? You know, it's wonderful that you can pick up the phone and call your pastor and ask your pastor to pray for you. Or to call your deacon and ask your deacon to pray for you, or your Sunday school teacher, or another Christian. But don't forget that Jesus is praying for you. And there's no one better to pray for you than Jesus Christ. Have faith in the prayers of Jesus. Secondly, have faith in the power of Jesus. Now, as they were facing this storm, they needed a Savior who was more powerful than the storm, right? And so how did Jesus come to them? How did Jesus manifest Himself this time? This time, He came walking on the water. Now, who can walk on water? It's impossible. But Jesus Christ came walking on the water. Have you ever thought how He did that? You know, I don't know how it happened, but was it that He caused the water molecules to hold hands a little tighter, you know, to give something firmer for Him to walk on? Did Jesus suspend the law of gravity to enable Him to walk on the water? Or perhaps like his ascension, where he overcame the law of gravity in his ascension, even so he overcame the law of gravity to enable him to walk upon the water. And so Jesus manifested his power. He gave them a visual to help them to know that he has the power to deal with this situation and to save them. But not only did he manifest his power in walking on the water, but as soon as they got back in the boat, you know what the Bible says in verse 32? The wind ceased. Suddenly the Sea of Galilee became calm, just like the other time there was a storm at sea. Jesus had the power to calm the waters. And so, remember that as you go through a storm and a difficulty in your life, that God is more powerful than the storm. That Christ is more powerful than the storm. You know, I can't help think about David, the teenager. Nobody would fight Goliath. Everybody's thinking about how big Goliath is. And David was the only one who was thinking about how big his God is. And went out and defeated the giant. That's the kind of faith we need to have in the power of Jesus. And then furthermore, we need to have faith in the presence of Jesus. Now in verse 26, he manifested his presence by coming out to them, walking upon the water. And notice what he said in verse 27. When they thought it was a ghost, he said, no. He said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. When he said, it is I, and literally, he said, I am. Reminds me of Exodus, when God manifested his name, he's the great I am, the ever-present one. Who was, who is to come. I am is here. God is here. I have come to be present with you. Though at first his presence terrorized them because they thought he was a ghost, he did not come to terrorize them. He came to comfort them. He came to rescue them. He came to help them in their time of difficulty. And it reminds me of Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so, listen, Jesus is either up in the mountain praying for his disciples, or he's coming to be with his disciples and to rescue them. Either way, they're going to be okay. And you know, when you go through a trial or difficulty in your life as a Christian, even if God allows you to die, the Bible says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can't lose with Jesus. Some of you have seen the movie or read the book, Love Comes Softly. And it's a great story. If you haven't seen the movie, I encourage you to see the movie. It's a movie about Clark, who had gone to the frontier and settled there, but his wife died. He went through the tragedy of his wife dying, and he was left with his daughter, Missy, to raise by himself. Meanwhile, there was another pioneer that had come, Marty, whose husband died. And so they got married. They both had gone through the storms and difficulties of life. And then the barn burned to the ground. And Marty came to Clark after this had happened and said, why is it that the God that you pray to didn't prevent something like this from happening to such decent people? And Clark took Marty to the hill where he would pray and read his Bible. And he explained it to her. And this is what he said. Missy, their daughter, could fall down and hurt herself even if I'm walking right there beside her. That doesn't mean I allowed it to happen. She knows with the Father's unconditional love, I will pick her up and I will carry her and I will try to heal her. I'll cry when she cries and rejoice when she's well. In all the moments of my life, God has been right there beside me. The truth of God's love is not that He allows bad things to happen. It's His promise that He'll be with us when they do. Amen. Amen. And you know, that's based right out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. There have been only three that I know of that had enough faith to believe that verse, even in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a fourth person with them and delivered them from the fire. And so Jesus says, when you're going through the storm, when you're going through the difficulty, I'll be with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer, which means have confidence, have courage in the face of the storm. 2020 has been a rough year. Christians of all people should be the least fearful in the face of the storm. And so we see, last of all, the saint on the water. You know, this is amazing. It's one thing to read about Jesus walking on the water. But here we read of Peter walking on the water. What a story. You know, Peter is so impulsive. Man, he's always got something to say. First to speak up. And he's ready to try anything. And so in verse 28, it says, And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Lord, will you bid me to come to you? Now, note with me his discernment. Because we are talking here about having faith in God, even in the midst of the storm. But we need to exercise the right kind of faith. We need to have discerning faith. And so notice what he says in verse 28. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He understood that our faith is not just faith in faith. Our faith is faith in God and His Word. And so he would not attempt to walk on the water unless Jesus gave him the command to walk on the water. Now, don't you be one of these Christians that says, well, I've got faith. Man, I can do anything. I'm going to jump off this building and fly, and God is going to protect me. Yeah, good luck. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be dead on the ground. Because you don't have a command in the Scripture that says that God's going to honor that kind of faith. Put Him to the test. Jesus wouldn't even jump off the pinnacle of the temple because Satan misquoted Scripture. Somebody else says, I'm going to throw my medicine away. You better make sure you have a word from God before you do that. Some promise from God before you do that. You need to make sure that before you step out on faith, that God is the one who told you to step out. Amen? We need to have discerning faith. But we also see a demonstration of faith in verse 29. You know, if you have real faith, you will step out on your faith. You will act on your faith. And in verse 29, it says, So he said, Come. Come. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have even gotten out of the boat. But if Jesus told me to come, I think this is what I would do. I'd kind of get out of the boat, you know. You know, make sure it feels like it's going to hold me up before I get in there. But you know, I think Peter just went on ahead. He just went right on and started walking out to Jesus. He demonstrated his faith. He stepped out on Jesus' word. We got to give Peter credit here. Amen. For his willingness to step out on faith. That shows you the power of faith. Peter could, with the invitation of Jesus and the power of Jesus, could actually walk on water. But we also read about his defeat in verse 30. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Fear gripped his heart once again, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. We see the cause of his defeat, right? When he saw the wind, when he saw the effects of the wind, the high waves, the darkness, he took his eyes off of Jesus and onto his circumstances. And when he did that, the lifeline of power was cut and he began to sink. And so, as you go through difficulties, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your faith focused on Jesus. Don't focus on your circumstances. Focus on Jesus. But you know, have you ever thought about why God allowed him to be defeated in this situation? I can give you two good reasons of why he sank. But beyond the fact that he took his eyes off of Jesus. One is that when God allowed him to sink, it caused him to get his eyes back on Jesus. And God will allow troubles in your life to get your eyes back on Jesus. To get you praying to Jesus again. To get you trusting Jesus again. God has a purpose in your difficulty and in your storm. But the other reason is this. There's nothing worse for a Christian than pride. And sometimes God allows defeat into our lives to bring some humility back. Right? Now, can you imagine how it would have been if Peter had walked out to Jesus and then walked back and gotten in the boat? Man, look at me. Look what I did. You know, he would have gotten all proud and cocky. Oh, man, he would not be able to be used of God. And so God allows defeat in our lives to bring some humility back into our lives as well. Well, thank God we read about his deliverance. When he called out to Jesus, when he focused on Jesus once again, Jesus was right there to rescue him and to bring him safely into the boat. And when you go through trials, when you feel like you're sinking in those trials, just get your eyes on Jesus, trust in Jesus, reach out to Jesus, and I promise you, Jesus will be there. He will be there. And typically, I believe it is his will for him to rescue you in the midst of that trial. And so you just trust in Jesus and you can be delivered just like Peter was. You know, I mentioned how God allows trials into our lives and he has a purpose in it. And we think of Job and how after all it was all said and done, Job ended up with twice as much as he had before. God blessed him. And I can look back on trials in my life and see how God turned those for good. And I'm sure you can as well. And so just remember, as you go through the trials and difficulties of life, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus will be present with you, and Jesus has the power to help you. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful story. We thank you for Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus this morning. What a wonderful and powerful Savior He is. Lord, help us not to be afraid. Help us to exercise proper caution, of course, but help us not to be gripped with fear. Help us to trust in Jesus and keep our eyes on Him as we go through the storms and difficulties of life. And we pray that you will lead us to make the decisions and commitments that you would have us to make this morning, for Jesus is worthy, and we ask this in His name. Amen.